Good afternoon. It's my pleasure to present to you all an analysis we did of STD testing at emergency contraception visits to the New York City STD clinics. Let's start by considering the public health challenges presented by unintended pregnancy, which is defined as a pregnancy that's mistimed or unwanted at the time of conception. Half of all pregnancies in this country, or over 3 million each year, are estimated to be unintended. The goal set by the Healthy People 2010 initiative is to decrease this 50% to 30%. Unintended pregnancies pose health, social, and economic risks. Preventing unintended pregnancies is complicated. No form of contraception is 100% effective. Accidents happen, and so, unfortunately, does rape and coercive sex. Emergency contraception, or EC, is an important strategy for preventing unintended pregnancies. EC refers to any method used to prevent pregnancy after unprotected sex has happened. Please note that EC prevents a pregnancy from starting. It does not cause an abortion. It prevents the need for one. In the United States, the most common method of EC is to take a high dose of the hormones found in regular oral contraceptive pills. The only FDA-approved pills specifically formulated for EC use are known by the brand name Plan B. A package of Plan B contains two pills with a high dose of progestin. Plan B can be used to prevent pregnancy by any woman who has had unprotected sex in the past 5 days or 120 hours with no contraindications. The sooner a woman uses Plan B after sex, the more effective it is. If it's used immediately, it's about 89% effective. Plan B is often referred to as the morning after pill because of this time frame. Nationally, Plan B was made available for over-the-counter sale to anyone aged 18 and over in August of 2006. Minors still need a prescription. In New York City, EC costs anywhere from about $30 to $70 in pharmacies, although it is covered by some forms of health insurance, including Medicaid. Plan B is the only product that New York City STD clinics use for EC, so for the rest of this presentation, when I refer to EC, I'm referring to Plan B. It makes sense to offer services for preventing unintended pregnancies and for addressing STDs to women who report unprotected heterosexual intercourse, since they're at risk for both. The New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene's Bureau of STD Control operates 10 STD clinics. These New York City STD clinics offer comprehensive STD services, HIV testing, partner notification, and several other types of health services. Family planning services are limited to EC provision and referral for family planning care. These clinics have offered EC since late 2005. They provide it for free to women at the time they need it at walk-in clinic visits. And at our clinics, women must see a physician to get EC. The objective of the analysis I'm about to present was to characterize EC visits to New York City STD clinics with respect to patient age, STD screening done, and positivity rates. We defined an EC request visit as any visit at which the patient specifically asked for EC, either at triage or during her time with the physician. We differentiated between EC-only visits, at which the patient requested EC but no other services, and EC-plus visits, at which the patient asked for EC as well as some other type of service or services. We focused the analysis on testing for chlamydia and gonorrhea only. The study period included the 19 months from October 2005 through April 2007. The study population included all women who came to one of the New York City STD clinics during the study period. The clinics only accept patients who are 12 and above. The study used electronic medical record data and was a visit-based analysis as opposed to a patient-based analysis. We used data on reasons for visit and chief complaint to identify EC request visits. To identify the outcomes of interest, we looked at data on patient age and on urine or endocervical nucleic acid amplification tests, or NATs, and gonorrhea cultures performed and their results at those visits. We found that a total of 3,758 women made 4,657 EC request visits. That means that 19% of the EC requests were repeats. EC was the only reason for two-thirds of the EC request visits, showing that the majority of women who come to STD clinics for EC do not present with STD-related concerns. To give you a sense of what these numbers mean about the scale of EC demand at the New York City STD clinics, there are approximately 49,000 visits to the clinics by women each year, and at about 3,000 of these, the woman specifically asked for EC. That means that about 6%, or 1 in 17, of the clinic's visits by women are for EC, and this does vary between the 10 clinics. The median age at EC request visits was 21. However, there were requests for EC made by women from across the reproductive age range. 12% of the EC requests were made by women younger than 18 who cannot get it at a pharmacy without a prescription. As most of you know, CDC recommends annual chlamydia and gonorrhea screening for all sexually active women aged 25 and younger. Over 3/4 of EC requests were made by women in this age group. This table shows chlamydia and gonorrhea testing and positivity among all EC request visits and then among EC only and EC plus visits. Overall, 27% of EC request visits included testing for chlamydia and gonorrhea. Where testing was done, 12% had positive results. However, the proportions tested and positive vary quite a bit between EC and EC plus visits. When we look at the EC-only visits, which you'll remember are over 2/3 of the visits, only 4% included testing for chlamydia and gonorrhea, but 7% of those tested were positive. Among the EC-plus visits, 71% were tested and 12% were positive. The high rate of testing at EC-plus visits is due to the other reasons for the visits indicating the need for testing. This chart shows testing and positivity rates at EC request visits by age at the time of the EC request visit. The pair of bars on the left shows testing and positivity at EC request visits by women aged 25 and younger. You'll remember that this is actually 77% of all EC request visits. The pair of bars on the right shows testing and positivity at EC request visits by women over 25. Note that the positivity among the younger group was 14%, twice the 7% positivity found among women over 25 who were tested at the time of their EC request visit. As I mentioned earlier, the results I just presented rely on data about patients' reason for visit to identify EC request visits. Keep in mind that this data can be incomplete or inaccurate, depending on how fully a patient discloses her reason for visit and how thoroughly the clinic staff records and asks for these reasons. Visits during which EC was not recorded as a reason for visit or a chief complaint, but where the patient did receive EC, were excluded from this analysis. Another possible limitation if this analysis is that anorectal testing for chlamydia was not assessed, and therefore results listing percent tested could be slight undercounts. With those limitations in mind, we concluded that a substantial proportion of visits to New York City STD clinics are for EC. Although most women requesting EC meet age criteria for chlamydia and gonorrhea screening and have had recent unprotected sex, few EC request visits included chlamydia and gonorrhea testing. These findings, plus the high rates of chlamydia and gonorrhea found among those who were tested, indicate that EC request visits are an important opportunity to improve STD detection and treatment in New York City, and that screening more women for chlamydia and gonorrhea when they request EC is a priority. Last October, we changed our clinic protocol to try to increase the proportion of EC request visits where chlamydia and gonorrhea testing is done. Previously, the protocol prioritized expedited EC access. Now, chlamydia gonorrhea testing is actively offered packaged with EC provision at EC request visits. We looked at testing done and positivity rates during the 3 months after we changed the protocol and compared this to what we had seen during the study period. This chart shows the before and after picture. During the follow-up period, we succeeded in doing chlamydia gonorrhea screening at 57% in comparison to the previous 27% of EC request visits. The positivity rate among those tested remained high at 10%. We'll continue evaluating the success of this approach over time. We're also beginning to use electronic medical record data to describe the phenomenon of repeated visits for EC. While 96% of EC request patients during our study period asked for EC 3 times or less, there is a small group of women who ask for EC more frequently, and these women may have unaddressed needs for family planning or other services. We believe that many of our STD patients are unfamiliar with EC and therefore don't ask for it even when they could benefit from it. We've added some new educational materials to our clinic waiting rooms and have incorporated a brief statement about EC into the waiting room presentations. Growing awareness of EC could increase the demand for it in our clinics, and we're working on increasing our clinic's capacity to provide EC by exploring the possibility of providing EC at express visits which do not include time with a physician. In order to better meet our patients' needs for preventing unintended pregnancy, we're also developing an improved referral system to comprehensive family planning services. I want to acknowledge all my colleagues who made this analysis possible, and thank you for your attention. I welcome any questions or comments.
Okay, this paper is now open for a couple of questions.
It's urine-based. Oh, the question was about staffing in the clinics and how a woman who walks into a clinic requesting only EC could be offered testing. Is that right? When women come into the clinics, they fill out a triage form and they check off the services that they want, and then they also talk to a triage staff person who makes sure that they understand correctly what the woman is there for. So what we're trying to do now is present urine testing as just a package deal part of an EC request visit. Just, you know, it's very normal to be tested at the time of an EC request visit, and it seems to be working pretty well. Does that answer your question? Right. Previously, the goal was to just make sure that there were no barriers to EC access, and, you know, we just really wanted to make sure that any woman who asked for EC could walk in, get it, and be on her way.
Shoshana, I'll ask a question. I think this is an amazing piece of work, and I wondered if you had done any qualitative studies to look at the acceptability and feasibility, because even after you have implemented your intervention, a third of women were still refusing to have, or 40% of women were still refusing to have an STD test. So can you explain, do you have any information, qualitative information, acceptability or feasibility?
I don't really have any data on that, and that is interesting. I mean, of course, we would like to see a much higher percentage of women getting screened at the time of their EC request visit. You know, we spend a lot of energy looking for women at risk to test, and when they walk in our door, we want to make sure they get what they need. But I don't know why the percentage hasn't been even higher, and we'll certainly keep working on that. You know, some of it may have to do with time constraints, and women just want to get in and get out and on with their busy lives. Some of it may have to do with risk perception. You know, I think a lot of women don't fully feel like they're at risk. But I really don't know. It would be interesting to find out. We unfortunately don't provide EC for men. You know, that has come up before, and that would only be a concern if the sex incident in question was the first time someone had had sex, and it's just not our assumption that that's true for most of our patients. Yes. Yes, exactly.
Shoshana,
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
So we'll continue to look at our theme of emergency.